Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today I have Laura from Delphi Tarot, who is also my cousin.
Yay! Thank you, Laura, so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. This is wonderful.
You're welcome. And you and I are both tarot card readers.
We are. And it's definitely having a moment, isn't it?
Yes. We were saying before that it's really caught on because you've been reading for what, 15 years about?
Yeah, about professionally, like about 12.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You and I both have seen it get really popular. And I'm happy to see spirituality catching on, but you know, you also want to feel respected for having been really into it before it really caught on. What are your predictions for the collective? Because there is this global awakening that is happening at the same time with all the crazy weather that I feel like is kicking up. What do you feel like is happening?
Now, do you mean the future of tarot? As far as where it's going, or do you mean like what we're predicting?
What we're predicting for the world, essentially.
Okay. Yeah, it's really tough. I have a couple clients asking about stuff like this too.
Really?
They're worried. Yeah, they're anxious about where our country is going, what's going to be happening here. And it makes them very nervous. Are they going to have to move? I know several people who have talked about moving out of the country. So it is an issue. I try not to dive for myself personally too far into it because I don't want to get depressed or I don't want to get anxious because I'm pretty nervous myself about where our country is going and where this is going. And I do believe that with tarot, you can have some divination, you know, ideas and kind of know where things are going. And some of it, I don't want to know all the time, you know, if that makes sense.
Completely. And I think throughout it, the advice I could give to anyone listening is it's truly about your intuition. Because if things kick up into high gear, we'll say, you know, your body is so intelligent and your intuition that if you listen to those, it can help you steer away from some of the chaos or devastation that I do think is going to occur. It's like the Tower card.
Yes.
In tarot, you know, where things often have to crumble so new things can be rebuilt that don't have cracks in it, right? So I feel like globally, that's what's already happening. Things are starting to fall. And those of us who want to make it through and feel good in our bodies and safe, you got to do the healing work, stay positive, and really listen to your intuition.
Very true. And being, though, very emotionally intuitive means that we gather all of that. Do you know, we absorb those negative energies or those feelings around, and that also makes it kind of difficult. So I always try to stay grounded, and that's why I kind of go day by day with even with tarot, with readings and stuff. I try not to look too far into the future because of that.
And when I read, I think that's a good way to do it, of being in the now, reading the present moment, because there are multiple realities according to a lot of people. And I believe that. So I think it's good to be in the now moment and open up different pathways from here that work for you.
Yeah. I also have a client and she wants readings a couple times a week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, you know, hey, I'll do it if that's what she wants. Because
that's
again,
great, actually.
You know, I personally feel that, you know, things can change pretty constantly.
Yes.
And especially if their life is changing so much where they need that guidance almost each day, then let's do that.
Yes.
You know? So,
and tarot is a healing modality, you know?
You're very right.
So it's not just about what's in store for me, it's also hearing these healing messages, because life is really tricky. And being an emotional being, which all of us are made to be, when you allow yourself to feel, it can feel crazy in your body, in your mind, wherever you really feel those things. So I could see why someone would want to go to
help
you for that. Yeah, it's a healing kind of thing. That's beautiful.
And let's be honest, sometimes they can turn into therapy sessions where we're almost the therapist and we're really helping them figure out their feelings. And really, a lot of the things that we're talking about are stuff that they already know.
Right.
But they needed that validation, or they needed that acceptance, or that new point of view for them to kind of really understand it and to come to grips with things. And that happens quite a bit with what we do. And I can't tell you how many times people say, thank you. I thought that, but it's nice to know I'm on the right track, or I'm glad to hear that. That's what I needed, you know?
Now I have to ask you, growing up, were you spiritual? When did you have your awakening, if you had an awakening? Because I kind of was raised as a Jewish atheist. Not, I wasn't raised that. It's just what I was. I was Jewish culturally, had the bat mitzvah, but really didn't believe in much until later on in life. Boom, you know, my reality got shifted in a whole other way.
Yeah.
But yeah, when was your spirituality awakening, or whatever the phrase would be?
Yeah, well, it's really funny because since we kind of grew up together, we were both raised culturally Jewish, but, you know, with atheist agnostic parents.
Right, right.
So I was raised with
not my mom, though. She's actually...
She's Jewish.
She's very Jewish.
Yeah, she actually is very Jewish now.
Yes.
I don't remember that from growing up too much, but I definitely...
It happened as she had her own... bat mitzvah as an adult.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I think,
And I feel that it's, you know, in that case, religion also is good for connection.
Right.
You know, for kind of connecting yourself to something greater to you and to a whole community. I think it's wonderful when you can do that, you know? So I definitely, let's see, this is going to sound really crazy, but I'm just going to be honest with you. Since I had no religious training whatsoever, like you even had a bat mitzvah, that was more than I even had.
Right, right.
Mine did not really come till college, till I started experimenting with drugs.
Okay.
I started taking mushrooms all the time and acid all the time with friends. And in college, that really just opened up my mind to other realities, other ideas, just about what else there is out there. And the fact that, you know, I had some telepathic conversations with friends on these drugs and like right in front when we were like talking, but we weren't using our mouths. And so to kind of realize that stuff can exist, what else is out there, kind of really opened my mind, if I'm being honest.
Wow.
With you.
No, always so, be honest.
Yeah. Well, I don't do those drugs anymore, really. It's very rare. but I do use, if I am going to do something like that, it is to basically open my mind or heal, you know, certain things, certain traumas that, you know, we both know occurred, stuff like that. It's really good for that kind of thing. But that's really where I got it. And so once I feel you open that floodgate, you can't close it. And that's a good thing. So I feel that in college that happened. And then after that, I really nurtured that side of myself. And then when I found tarot, that really just clicked. Like it just made sense to me. And then of course, after I learned it for myself, trying to help other people and like, oh wow, I'm kind of good at this and they're getting something from it. I don't know. There's this book that I just read about lying. It's called The Truth About Lies. Have you heard about that book?
No.
Because there's a whole section on tarot and I have beef with it.
Oh man.
Yeah. But they talk about tricksters. They talk about magicians. They talk about Ponzi schemes. They talk about a bunch of different things throughout civilization.
Okay.
And one thing they're talking about tarot, and I know you do not do this and I don't either, is that there are just scammers out there who really just want money. And so they'll feed you, they'll read you and try to, you know, take that in and turn it around to yourself and say, I see a curse on you. You know, I need 2,000 to
live. Right.
You know, stuff like that. And I was talking, you know, about the book, how we don't do that though, because tarot readers, or the good ones at least, will go by the cards.
Right.
And yes, if we get an expression from a client or something, we'll definitely expand on that because obviously they're interested and it's connecting to them. But we're not going to base a reading just on what we're seeing. You know what I mean?
We'll base it on. And I think the truth is there are scammers in almost every career path.
Right.
We live in a world where I think there are a ton of maniacs. I think a lot of unhealed people looking to get one over on someone else. And I think part of being in tune is listening to that feeling when you're like, I don't really trust this person, or, you know, because I've had some great tarot readings and I've had ones where I had to almost get the energy off of me after. So I, even whether they were scamming or they just had some dark intentions that they put into the reading itself. So I think really making sure, whether it's tarot, investing your money, anything, you really want to feel into, and you have to have the tools to be able to accurately feel into who's not a scammer. Because of course, of course you're going to sometimes get scammed in it, and it's unfortunate, you know, like, for $1,000, I'll burn this candle and the hex is off of you. Now, maybe that, maybe there are some real witches out there who do know those things. Maybe those are real in some, you know what I mean? Because I don't know all the different methods to remove those things.
Yeah.
The way I read tarot and give healings, because I give Kabbalistic healings, is just really trying to get the person's fullest vibration out. And if there are hexes, I believe just through doing really intense healing work, that person can remove them, because it's all about vibration and frequency anyway. So I do think dark magic's out there. Do I think it can work? Yes. But I also think if you just, if you're intense to heal and grow and evolve, you can get those off of you without even having to pay $1,000 or $2,000 to someone to,
I agree. It. And again, I don't think the money matters. Like, whether I pay you $2,000 or give you a dollar, it's the same thing. It's who's doing it. And I think you're right. I think we need to always, and this is as a consumer too, trust our intuition. Like, when you're getting a vibe of somebody and you're like, this person is not doing, listen to that. You know, there are way too many people who are fakes and who think they know what they're talking about. And they might have good intentions, but they just don't know what they're talking about yet. They might have just started reading tarot and they're still using their book, which, again, no shade on that, but that's not a professional yet. You know what I mean? You have to graduate. You know, you have to
be able to do it. Really learn the language of tarot. And I think with the different things that are going to be happening, you got to listen to that intuition, because I don't know. I do think there are a lot of people out there who have, unfortunately, ill intent. And it's sad, you know, even driving on the road, I'm like, why are, is this person trying to kill me? Like, I'm going either the speed limit or a bit above, but I'm not being reckless. And to have someone like up my ass, I'm like, who are these people that think this is okay? Or I'll go to the gym and see certain behaviors, like someone camping out on a machine for 30 minutes, you know, like, there are just certain things. And you're like, who taught this person to be this inconsiderate? And I think we're shifting, we're changing. And those of us who want to be healed and considerate are doing it. And to avoid the negativity, whether it's tarot or whatever, you just got to listen to that intuition.
And to your point, I also think, you know, everybody is on their own journey, their own thing. And so I feel like, exactly, there's a lot of people that we encounter in our life that have negative feelings, negative intentions, negative, and that's their thing. So I agree. There's a lot of, I live in LA. There's a lot of crazy drivers out here. And they'll even tap you. Like, if you're not going fast enough, they'll tap you. And, you know,
you've been tapped? You know,
it's scary. Yeah, it's scary.
That's crazy. It's like bumper cars to them.
Mm-hmm. There was one, my friend had, she was at a stoplight and they wanted to turn right, but she was going straight. So they literally started pushing her car into the, And she started calling the police, and she was like, but she was scared of these people. Like, who does that? It's a traffic light. It's what, a couple minutes? And he's like pushing her into traffic.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there are people out there who are willing to kill you so they can get to an appointment on time. You know, it's a real doggy dog vibration. It's been set up in our society, you know, to not really give a shit. But once again, all we can do from that is set our own boundaries.
Yes. And the point being, also, I've had to turn down clients, people who wanted readings. And I'm just like, that's too intense for me, or their energy is not, I can't do it. It's too draining.
And it's hard to say no to someone.
It is.
I've had to as well.
Mm-hmm. But there's sometimes I just, you know, I think, you know, I basically just say, you know, I don't think I'm the one to read for you. I don't think I'm your reader.
You know? Good for you.
Yeah. And because I'm not going to put myself through it. Or if I have, it's like they just take and take. And suddenly you're on the phone with them or you're doing a reading and it's way past the 20 minute reading and it's over an hour. And they're not appreciating it. And they're just wanting more and more and more. And it's like, this is not going to happen. So I've had the situations like that too. So.
Oy, oy, oy.
Oy.
So I want to talk a little bit about Magic Castle, if that's okay.
Sure.
We don't have to spend too much on it, but you've been reading tarot there. And it's a pretty well-known, famous place, Magic Castle. Correct?
I want to bring you. Let
okay,
me know.
Yes, I know.
Visit. I would love to take you.
Hopefully soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that I'm getting back into comedy and, you know, I just have to get my brave legs back and literally walk again.
Oh, girls' weekend.
Oh, I'm bringing Siege to LA with me. You're going to have both of us with you.
He's always welcome. He's always welcome. He's amazing, of course.
Yes.
I would say, let's see, the Magic Castle has been one of those amazing places that I've been able to grow as a tarot reader and just grow as a person. And just like I'm sure you know, like many things that happen in life, this just kind of fell in my lap. It was one of those chance encounters that my friend just invited me out and said, hey, we're going to go to this place called the Magic Castle in Hollywood. It's an invite only. It's an exclusive magician's club. You have to dress up. You have to wear suit and tie or cocktail attire. No exceptions. There are celebrities around, but like you only have to have an invite. And so I was like, all right, I'll go. Like I was not particularly into magic at this point. I wasn't like into any of this. But I'm like, all right, it's something to do. And as soon as I walked in, it's from the 1960s. It's you're just captivated by the actual castle itself. It is so gothic and beautiful and kept up. There's also a lot of old Hollywood pieces in there from different shows, different movies, different sets. They have this wall. And Milt, one of the founders, one of the studios in the, I guess it's the 60s, was throwing away all of these amazing black and white pictures of these studio icons and just these models. But again, in the whole, you know, 1920s look, everything. And so there, these are all up and you can pick your favorites and look at each one has a story.
Wow.
I fell in love with the castle itself. And it's beautiful. And yes, there is magic in many different showrooms. There's different shows each night. There's food and drinks, and it's very elegant. But there's a very good energy there. It's wonderful. And it's so much fun.
That's so cool. I need to check it out when I come. Yeah.
Yeah. So then basically what happened was I just, the person who brought us actually was on this innovations committee, which is a committee that's only 9 or 10 people. And it was led by Neil Patrick Harris. And one of the owners, the founders, Milt Larson, and 5 other people. And I said, I just want to be a part of this. I don't know where I fit in, but this is my vibe.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, why don't you come to the innovations committee? We won't tell anyone that you're not a member. You'll just come and hang out and, you know, see what you have to give. And so I came, they just assumed I was a member. And it was, of course, you're working with Neil right away and talking to him. And I immediately pitched an idea and Neil said, run with it. And me and my 2 other friends who were there too, we ran with it and we installed these things. It was these purse holders that I wanted to do as a hand. I came up with the idea from Willy Wonka, you know, the hat.
Yes.
So I thought, you know, they need purse holders at the bar. Why don't we make it a hand? And then while they're talking, it'll close on their purse.
Oh, that's crazy.
Right? Wouldn't it be fun? And then the person's like, oh my God, my purse. Like, it's. And we never did that far because we figured, once we installed it, we're like, if we make this move, some drunk person's going to rip it out. Like,
yeah, it's going to be too much upkeep.
Mm-hmm. But we did keep the hands. So then after we did the hands and that was actually installed and we're done, he found out we weren't members. And he was like, hey. And but he was like, it's okay. You guys are already kind of here. And so basically I became very involved with that and helping them do projects to just improve the castle. And then when Halloween was coming up, the theme was basically that started to, Neil decided to move back to New York. So the innovations committee was kind of being dissolved and kind of being taken up by the events committee, which was turning into, they were creating a boo crew for Halloween. So we just pretty much switched over to there. And then we started, you know, doing Halloween and other special events. And I remember the first Halloween I was on there, he said, I don't know what to do with you, like where we can put you. And it was carnival themed. And I was like, well, I can read tarot.
Oh.
And he was like, well, can you come in audition and do a gypsy voice, do the whole thing, but do real readings? And I was like, of course. So I nailed the audition. I did about 10 readings on their staff and I was hired immediately. And I have not looked back. That's been my gig now, doing New Year's Eve, any special events. I've done studio parties. So I did the Marvel party, you know, when Marvel had a whole
buyout. So you've read for a ton of celebrities.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Ryan Gosling, Eva Mendes, I read them. And like, you know, so it's been a really fun thing. And then through that, I've also gotten other gigs and new clients, and that's pretty much been able to grow my client base. And then, as you know, over the pandemic, pretty much everything went virtual. And then I got new clients from doing TikTok and Instagram, Facebook, stuff like that.
So, wow.
Yeah, but it's been interesting. So yeah, the castle is really fun and it's inspiring every time I go.
Now, speaking of castles, there's, this isn't even just a rumor. King Charles is an actual descendant of the real life Dracula. Have you heard of that?
What?
He owns several properties, including castles in Transylvania. So, and recent pictures of him, he does kind of look a bit vampire-y. I mean, I was Googling this to see if it was true. He's like the great-grandson of Vlad Tepes, the ruthless prince. That's who Dracula is based off, a real person. So he's the great-grandson 16 times removed. But yeah, people are starting to really dig and find out certain things about a lot of famous people, rich people, you know.
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, like out here, I met one of my friends. He is Tim. He's Bela Lugosi's grandson. Oh. So I got to go over and see the actual cape, and like, and it's funny because his dad looks just like Bella.
Really?
So it was so intense. I was like, oh my gosh, you look just like, you know. And he hears that a lot, I'm sure.
But and I'm not going to drop names, but I've heard that you have some pretty famous friends.
Let's see, friends, definitely
acquaintance, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Some, yeah. And I've gone on a couple dates with people that you would know, like, cause you know, LA is that kind of place, you know, you kind of meet these people. And
I've dated some now famous people. It's interesting knowledge. You know, you get a certain insight and then you watch them blow up in a certain way, or maybe they already are.
Yes,
I got to watch some people become famous, and I mean, good for them. It's just an interesting perspective to know someone in that way, and then watch them, you know, be like pedestaled. You're like, huh, okay, all right.
Or, you know, just especially even reading at the castle. There's so many celebrities that come in. I think it's funny. Even if I recognize them, I'll pretend like I don't, and give them a reading, you know, and see how, you know, spot on it is, see if it's,
that's the proper way to do it, I think, you know. And I think that it would make anyone feel safe, because I think they're doted on so much,
yeah,
that they're looking for like a real human to human experience in the tarot reading. And
yeah,
if you're like, oh my god, like if you were freaking out, it might I mean, it would be hard not to, but I would try to act cool. But
But even some of them, it's funny, like at the Marvel party, I met a bunch of celebrities.
That
and
is
a couple
so
of them
cool.
were like minor, very like minor celebrities. But one of them kept in touch and now gets readings. We do virtual readings, you know, and just like check-ins, you know, he's doing very, very well. But just to kind of just see, you know, and again, a lot of it I've found is like, they already know. They just want that confirmation or that
right.
validation that what they're pursuing is correct, what they're doing is right, you know? And so
I would have died at a Marvel party. I'm a big Marvel fan. I would have just been like, this is wild.
Mm-hmm. It was super fun.
So fun. Yeah.
But you honestly don't have a moment because Tara was so popular. So they put us now, and there was a palace show going on. So, and basically celebrities everywhere, Jackie Chan walking by, there's all these different people. And I have a table set up. And so all these people are sitting around. I give them each readings, and then they get up and more people sit down. Wow. So you don't really even have a time to kind of like be like, ooh, you're just kind of reading and enjoying. But you would like this too, because especially I had a table of all women, and they were all strong, powerful women with amazing cards. And these are women who are work behind the scenes. Some of them were actors, some of them are producers, writers as well. But they all had this amazing communal feminine energy, like that Three of Cups, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
That amazing energy where it's like everyone was supportive and yay, that was a great reading. How about yours? Like, oh my God, this is so you. And like, but I loved seeing how they came together. And so even though it is a very personal thing, it can actually, it's great at parties. You know, yeah. I do parties all the time. So it's
I do love doing tarot parties, you know, mm-hmm. especially if it's good vibes, people.
Yes. Yeah.
It can get really deep. It can even get a little crazy. If things really start flowing and coming out, but I love it. I'm like, bring it all out. Let the healing energies, let the spirits come in.
Yeah. My one thing though, like if I'm doing a birthday party or something, I really don't get too heavy.
Okay.
Because it's supposed to be a good time. And I was reading.
You don't want all the crying happening.
Yeah. Or just like, you know, if it's bad news, for example. I don't sugarcoat, but I will just kind of put that happy spin on it and be like, you're up for a challenge, but if you face it, you know, keep on going. Like I do try to keep a little lighter than if I'm just one-on-one with someone where it's like, okay, we got to tackle this problem. Do you know what I mean?
Tell everyone what disease they're going to get at a party.
I mean, there was one that was
I don't do that, Laura.
it kind of shook me. Like, do you know what I mean? She was going through cancer treatments. She had
oh,
a
child, really?
And it was just all bad. And, you know, I think she knew it, but she wanted some kind of, you know, help. And none of the cards were saying it. And I was actually getting mad at the cards because I was like, please just give her something to look forward to.
That happened at a bachelorette party.
Oh my God.
Three of Swords. Three of Swords, like the swords going through the heart came out for the soon to be bride. And it was really intense. But I, you know, I didn't lie. I just made it as positive as can be. But I think tarot, even if you're not trying to go super deep at a lighter event, it can get there even accidentally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you are right. I try to keep it light at most, not necessarily a personal healing. Then everything can come out and it's meant to. But yes, at a party I try, but still I feel like, especially if alcohol is involved with the people there, it can get, or if you're reading for a married couple and they keep interjecting into the other one's reading.
I've had that. It's awkward.
It's
super
so
awkward. You're just like, okay, they can get it. I had a recent one, and this was just like, the husband was so mortified and she was super duper drunk. And she thought this is a great time to come in and tell me why she does not believe in tarot. And I'm like, why did you wait in this long line for me?
I hate when they do that.
It was literally like at least a 40-minute line for me. This is when my line went all the way up. During Halloween week, it's very popular. So I had a long line. So she literally came into my booth to sit down, and she was this drunk, you know, where they're like, this, okay, let me tell you why I don't believe in this at all. And I'm like, we don't have time for this. And her poor husband's like, I'm so sorry. I thought she wanted a reading. Like, just, I'm so sorry. And, you know, he was just trying to, and I'm like, look, I'll give you a quick reading, but we're not philosophizing here. We're not doing this now. This is your 5-minute reading.
Like, I hate when they want to like debate whether tarot is real to the tarot reader. It's like, I don't want to have this debate with you. Do you want your tarot read or not? Like, and it makes me feel so like uptight that it's even harder to flow into the reading because it felt confrontational or something in the beginning.
Yeah. Or you ever see someone who was like, they want to test you. I'm sure you've had these people where they're just going to sit there like this.
Right. Right.
Do the entire reading. And it's like, they're not giving you anything. And I understand they're trying to get you to prove it. But at the same time, you're not even enjoying this. Like, what are we doing here?
And it's just a way to like meet a human being in general is like coming to what their profession is and then giving like crossed arms, angry vibes. It's like, nice to meet you too. Thanks for like, and I understand being critical, you know, making sure, okay, is this information really resonating? But to come in with an aggressive attitude is definitely off-putting.
And it happens. I get at least a few each season like that. Like, I don't believe in this and I'm going to prove you wrong. And it's like,
you're a fun date.
Yeah, exactly. That I should answer with that. I bet you're a fun date.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what are you trying to do here?
Can I get those numbers?
So here's the next topic.
Okay.
And it kind of links a little bit to what you said about your awakening.
Okay.
The U.S. Drug Control Agency will reclassify marijuana as a less dangerous drug. And because of it, cannabis stocks are surging. Look at that.
I love these topics. These are, you know me pretty well.
Well, I think this is great news because to classify marijuana as like the same as heroin, meth, it's just ridiculous. And people now know it's not the case. Like, it's just a different world.
It's
like,
amazing.
You can't fool people.
This being said, I have to tell you, I never read cards high. Like, I will never, I feel like that's doing a disservice to my client.
What about tripping on acid?
Nope. I'll do my own. I haven't done acid since college. I have dabbled.
I give you permission. I want you to do shrooms one day and read my tarot. I think
I will do that.
I want to hear all the spirits you start seeing and talking to.
I will. I'll totally do it. But I feel like, for example, when I'm working, because it's a professional business we're in too. Kidding aside, it is professional the way we hold ourselves. I feel like that is very important. So I always try to give my full attention and my full thing. Now, if I'm going to do, you know, if I do marijuana, which in California we can do all the time, I can absolutely do that and read my own cards.
I like that flex. You're like, here in California.
Yeah. You guys are still backwards, right?
We're in the archaic ages. No, I think it's gone, especially in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And New Jersey, it's no longer, I think it's decriminalized. So it's definitely happening out here. But California and Colorado and some others, I think Portland maybe, y'all were definitely ahead of the game with that.
Okay.
But you also have Snoop Dogg in California. So I think he helped. I love Snoop. Unless I find out Snoop was hanging out with Diddy doing some weird shit. I really like Snoop. I like Martha. I like their friendship. So I think certain celebrities who've been smoking weed out there and doing all that, maybe they helped. I don't know what helped to push it. It just makes sense. A lot of people use it for medical reasons for real.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the great thing is that some people like who have MS, autoimmune deficiency disorders, the people who before were avoiding it, even if their doctors said it was fine because they were so scared from their upbringing, it's a drug. I'm glad people with like, you know, seizure type disorders, that kind of stuff, are finally loosening up to take something that can really help. That's also a plant and not a chemically made.
I know. And really, it has so many amazing benefits to it. It's unbelievable that it would be illegal. I mean, CBD does not get you high, but has so many benefits.
Yes.
So even if you don't want the high part, CBD will heal you in so many different ways, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I absolutely agree with you. You know, and you know, Snoop is also doing wine now too. But
is he really?
Yeah, he has wine.
That's cool.
I'll send you a picture. Yeah, he's an entrepreneur. He has
a lot of different.
He wears a lot of different hats.
One of them
is the winery.
I'm a fan of Snoop, and like I said, of Martha.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's great. I think that anything to kind of expand your mind or open up your mind, whatever that is for you, I think
in a safe way, which you've been stating.
Exactly. Not abusive, like not, you
with
know,
the right people. And I think, you know, a lot of people, like shamans, even lead ceremonies here in the United States, you know, where if you want to open up your state of consciousness, you can do it in a safe way with someone overseeing it. Obviously, feel out the person.
Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely agree. Absolutely. Feel out the person, just see what it is like and go with that. But yeah, I feel everybody's different and things affect people different ways, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, the times, they are changing.
Which is good. It's a good thing.
Very good. I know. It kind of brings us to the Make America Great Again, not to get political, but it's really like, wait, even in my childhood, I was never like, this is great. We figured it out. There's always been wars, you know. Civil rights didn't happen that long ago. We're still feeling the ramifications of everything we've done. Holocaust, slavery, all of it. So I'm like, no, we are learning now how to live together. I want to say peacefully, but here we are, maybe on the verge of World War III, hopefully not. But we're at a time where hopefully we can, those of us who are really dedicated to evolution and peace, will hopefully bring us into a new paradigm. It's what we're trying to do.
I'm really hopeful. I'm very discouraged by a lot of the things that are going on right now in government and just around the world. It's very, very discouraging. And I feel like women are absolutely being thrown back into the 1800s or the 1950s, however you want to say that. And that's really discouraging.
There's a man suing a pregnant woman. She's pregnant with his baby. She's in Texas. She's trying to leave the state or already left to have an abortion elsewhere. He's suing that she cannot do that because it's his unborn baby. Now, we don't have to get too deep into pro-life, pro-choice stuff. But I mean, I thought it would be all cool to go to another state. So I'm now like, oh, wow, if you live in a state and you try to go to another state, now that can get you in trouble. That's, yeah, we're in interesting times.
It's a little Handmaid's Tale. It's a little, you know what I mean? It's a little crazy. But here's what I was going to say is I am hopeful. I do feel like this new generation coming up, the younger people are definitely more sensitive, more emotionally ready to handle these things. And I really have hope that they're being more progressive and their thoughts are more progressive and that we'll get there eventually to good places. But people have to vote. And again, even the voting system is completely wonky where it's not vote for vote. So
and I don't like any of our politicians. Yeah. I kind of like Kamala a bit, but like, these are our choices. Like, come on. I just feel like that system's going to shift a lot and evolve because everyone's bullshit is coming out. And like, you can see with the Epstein stuff, the Diddy stuff, none of these lists are really being released. Right. Like they kind of are, but it's all people who are too connected and have too much money. So as that continues to happen, just things are going to shift. People are going to say, we want people who are in a, you know, have power, who also follow their heart and have morality.
Yes. So that's, I'm really trying to have faith in this younger generation. And I agree. There's a lot of cyber bullies. There's a lot of young kids, but I feel as they mature that they will be more sensitive. I mean, look at the whole new pronouns movement. That would not have happened when we were younger. You know, that never.
Yeah, the high school students, because I've been substitute teaching, the conversations they're able to have, they're so enlightened, so many of them. Yeah, they're, and I think a part of it is growing up with technology and getting access to so many different perspectives, like TikTok, even though there's going to be a ban. But you know what I mean?
Know.
Like they're able to see people's perspectives from all over the world. So even with what's going on in Gaza, you can see almost every kind of person's perspective right away. And I think, this next generation, they are very sensitive and they're good with non-duality, I think, is that they can see the paradoxes and hold them and feel them and then see all the things open up from there, the shades of gray, and then decide what they feel and how they want to navigate. But yeah, I think I have faith too. I have a lot of hope. I don't want to say I think, I just know. I said, I don't want to say I think, I know. I think there's going to be some sort of destruction that happens for us to get to the next place. But hopefully it's not too crazy. You know, I really don't want too much pain. There's already too much pain in this collective. It's like, we got to get to the next place. It's almost boring. You know, like even all the war scenes and the fight scenes in every movie. Sure, fight scenes can be cool. I love Marvel, like you were saying. But I feel like we also need new storylines for our own lives and our movies. It's like, let's get to the next place.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, being in Hollywood, I'm seeing some of the trends. I'm not as much, but people have shorter attention spans now.
That's true.
So they're really not going for the rom-coms as much as the action. And they're redoing, like, look at Dune. Like, look at, they're redoing all of these movies to add more action and add more things.
Now, Dune was great. Did you see Dune?
Yes. I'm not putting shade on Dune. But what I'm saying is, like, that's more of what people are looking for now. They're not, like, rom-coms aren't selling like they used to. You know, it's a lot of horror.
I like a good rom-com.
Me too. But, like, horror is very popular.
Do you watch horror?
Action. Well, yeah, you know I love horror.
You do. I was going to say, wait, I feel like you do,
I
don't
write
you?
Horror. Yeah.
Wait, right. Growing up, what did you watch all of the horror movies? Friday the 13th and all of, like, the Halloweens and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, my parents, they didn't have any, like, they let us watch stuff that was wildly inappropriate. My mom will watch this and she'll cringe, but she knows. She took us to Invasion of the Body Snatchers when I think I was like 5 and Ryan was like 3. Like, oh, we lasted about 15 minutes until Ryan screamed the shit out of that
I
thing.
Haven't seen it. Yeah. Is it just crazy?
No, it's not even that bad, but it's certainly not appropriate for young kids.
For young kids.
It's scary for them.
Aww. And
so this'll just little inset. So basically, Ryan screamed his head off. My mom ushered me and him out to the waiting room. My dad stayed and watched the movie, mind you. So my mom and me and my brother and I were in the Baderwood movie theater hallway. Like, you know, the area, reception area, the entire movie.
Oh, that's
but
crazy. That's
we,
horrible.
We were not able to sleep for days.
Oh, man. I still remember the iguana.
Yes.
You
yes.
all used to have that. Because I would get scared because it was a free roaming iguana for the most part.
It was free roaming.
And I would come over and you'd have these two big fluffy dogs and then you have an iguana going around and then you guys would be like, what was the iguana's name?
Clyde.
Clyde. You'd all be like, he's fine, and he'd be looking at me and I'd be looking at him like, wait, are we cool?
Yeah,
that house was amazing.
He was so sweet, but the one problem he had was he would tend to poop on people. If people wanted to hold him, suddenly they'd be covered in poop, and it was like,
okay,
so people stayed, most people like but he would, his defense mechanism, it's so funny, his only defense mechanism was to close his eyes.
Really?
Like if he got scared, he would just be like just hoping it would go away. Whatever he was scared of.
Got to know him very well. I was always a little nervous. But that house you grew up in, I mean, it had a lot of magic in it. And it kind of links to the next topic of, have you had many interactions with spirits, including growing up in that house ever? Because, whoa, that was a crazy house. I think I've had dreams about your childhood house, but it's a bit different in the dream.
Yeah.
You know, in the dreams it can shift, but
the house was great. I never had anything bad happen in that house like that. I think the house was really good. And even when we sold it, when we had like a weekend alone in the house to just kind of say goodbye. And it was really great. I didn't have any bad experiences there. There have been places that I've gone definitely where you can definitely feel bad spirits or you can definitely feel a bad vibe. Like there's a place in LA called Formosa Cafe. It's in Hollywood. It actually is an old building. Al Capone used to run his dealings through there.
Okay.
And they put me back in his office to read tarot. Like it's open. And you could definitely feel weird vibes there because people lost their lives. People were, it was not good.
Wow.
And so it never got warm in that room. And I remember asking them and I'm like, it's freezing in here. And they're like, the heat's on. And she took me to the, and you could feel the heat. And it always stayed about like 45 degrees. Like it was freezing. And they're like, yeah, it's always had this problem. We've tried insulating it. We've done, you know, there's heat that comes in here and it will never get warm. And the whole other place, the whole other area was all warm and friendly. And so basically before I started reading cards, I just said, hey, I just respect all of you here.
Okay.
I know I'm not alone here and I'm here. I respect you, but I'm just going to do a job and just know I'm.
Please
I'm
don't attach to me.
Yeah, please
go home
just,
with me.
You know, and I have to say, the feeling never went away, but nothing happened.
That's great.
Yeah. So
there's a way to respectfully be with spirits.
You know, how can you? What was the question?
No, I was saying there's a way to respectfully be with spirits.
Yes, I think so. And I always try to head it off, especially because, you know, you're intuitive too. If you feel it, it's right there.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things that we can't see that are here that
yes.
exist. So I think it's very important to kind of cleanse that or just be like, you know, and also I think mentally for you, it's also good. Like, you know how people say, I'm going to like cleanse my apartment or I'm going to, you know, they have a bad breakup. And so they want to cleanse everything.
Right.
I think that's good, not only for the space, but for your mind.
Yes.
You know,
yes. Cleansing's so important in all ways, like you're saying. And I think this is a topic, so I want to kind of
yes.
smooth into this, knowing that when a door is closed, it's for a reason,
yes.
I think is a big, beautiful lesson that a lot of us can always relearn over and over, because there have been so many times in my life where I was wanting something that just wasn't happening. And now looking back, I completely understand why. And mm-hmm. I think when you can have that kind of attitude of, okay, what for whatever reason, this is my situation, whatever obstacles, whatever shoulds are in the picture, meaning it should be like this, it should have
yeah.
been like this, you know, really saying, I trust the universe enough to know that this present moment is being created for a reason. And that certain doors, whether they're closed or they're not as open as you want them to be, it's for a reason. Your defense mm-hmm. mechanisms could be a big part of it too. So
very
I would
much
love your and thoughts on that.
Very much. I agree with you on all of that. I also think, like, you know, sometimes you miss opportunities and that sucks. Like I have one that I think my life, I can go back 20 years and say, if I had done something differently in this specific situation, my life would have been completely a lot different.
Right.
And it would have been really, really great. But not to say that I'm sad. I
right.
like the path that I took. But at the same time, the regret gets you nowhere.
Right.
You know, that feeling gets you nowhere. And I do feel like if a door closes, listen to that. And it's surprising to me how many people, you know, don't, you know, ignore that sign. Like, I'm sure you have this too. I get almost weekly people saying, can you help me get my ex back? Can you help me break up their relationship? And my answer is always no.
Right.
No, I'm not putting any of that energy into that. And you shouldn't either. You shouldn't want anyone who doesn't want you. Like, that's just the hard truth. Like,
yeah,
it sucks sometimes, but if they're not by choice going for you, what do you, you know, that's not a good thing.
And it's usually linked to some deep trauma that a lot of us have of thinking that love needs to be chased when you're right. You know, the real love is reciprocal. Easier said than done. But I think a lot of us didn't get the love and nurture we needed growing up. So we never figured it out or figured it out later as adults, as we reparented ourselves. Like, this is what it feels like to have love and
yeah.
safety. But yeah, I think so many people, they're used to chasing because they never even got it in their childhood, or maybe they did, but who
yeah.
knows?
Or they're
But
desperate.
Yeah.
Like they lose somebody and that fear of abandonment is too powerful. Just like, you know what I mean? Where they can't, they need that person back.
Yeah.
And it's not for the right reason. It's not right. you know? So,
and you can, you know, you can be where you're at in each moment. So if you're in a place where you can't detach and in your heart, you know, you're still working through that, you can be with that part of yourself. Mm-hmm. But as long as you modify your behavior as best you can to not be chasing someone who, yeah, doesn't want you. And I've been there in my past, and it's just a painful place to be, you know?
Sure.
And I just think it's always a good sign when the person you love loves you back.
Absolutely.
Obvious answer, obvious thing, but.
But you know. I mean, even with your marriage, it's like it comes together in a certain way and you connect
right.
and click
right.
and it just works.
Right.
Why would you want to force something to work that's not working?
Well, I think that's the state of the collective is in force mode.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's not enough surrender. Let's see what things naturally flow and what doors just open, what's really made for me. And once again, even in my own life, I have to rework those lessons of the right doors will open. I'm exactly in the present moment that I've co-created and I should feel good about that, you know?
Yeah.
But it's hard because we're in this competitive state. We should have, you know, I should have done this thing, or if I had done that,
yes.
I could be rich or famous or whatever it is. I could have still be with this person if someone's longing for them. But the truth is we're exactly where we're meant to be in this moment. And from here, you can still make certain choices to become a vibrational match to whatever mm-hmm. it is I think we're longing for. And I'm not yet a vibrational match to all the things that I'm trying to manifest, you know, but this is, it's an ever-changing process.
But I think, you know, you also have to remember that it's always about the journey. So you're never going to be fully at that. You know, I don't think we ever get to that place. And even, you know, all the people that I've talked to are even in their 80s have said, it's like, they're never at that place where they can't stop growing. And that's a good thing. You know what I mean? I don't think we ever reach that place where like, we're perfect.
It's why we don't have exoskeletons. It's so we don't evolve.
That's why we don't have. Yeah. I mean, I think that's part of it. So I don't think you're ever going to get to that place, but I think that that's okay, because as long as you keep striving and reaching it, you'll get closer and closer, and you know, you'll learn from this process who you are.
Right.
You'll learn about the world, the life, this life, maybe, you know, other dimensions, other, you know, whatever comes next. I think it's good that we don't always reach that, you know, it gives something.
You ever feel like the universe is kind of an abusive boyfriend at times, where it can really put you in a headlock,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? To make you go in another direction. Like I was working on a bit about mm-hmm. it and it just never came together. But mm-hmm. that's how it feels sometimes. But like, maybe it's not exactly an abusive boyfriend, because no one wants the abusive boyfriend. But life can be a real bitch sometimes. You know, sometimes you really have to learn through pain. And I don't know exactly why it works like that. But I think sometimes life will put you in so much pain that you say, I need a different route. What am I not seeing here?
And some things that we're not even exposed to, like horrific things happen to people. And it's like, why?
Right.
Why does that happen to this person who is basically a very good person who only wants to do good?
Right.
Why did this horrific thing happen? And then you see something like the Kardashians doing great. And like, what have they done karmically to earn that? And then I see other people who are so struggling and with health issues, with other stuff that's like horrible. And it's like, what made that their journey? You know, like what put them on that path?
And I think it's such a complex answer, right? I think it's so complex. And if you do believe in God, goddess, a higher source, you know, I don't try to know all the answers. It's more knowing that we are magnificent beings capable of so much. And just as far as you go into the dark, you can go into the light. So I believe if you're given something horrible, there is an opportunity to grow and heal. Now, once again, easier said than done. Someone right now could be experiencing a nightmare situation, and I understand why it may feel like this is the worst. I can never move past this, you know? But I do think with the right people around you, the right love, you know, people are able to get through all sorts of horrendous, dark situations that unfortunately Earth can cook up So many crazy things. I don't know if you saw all the tornadoes in the Midwest that happened, like Oklahoma, Nebraska. Like, there's so many fucked up
Oh
things
my
that
gosh.
life can deliver. But I think with community and talking to people who are also going through your struggle, you know, they're beautiful ways to cope, but it
That's a good
certainly ain't
point.
easy here.
No. And I do agree with you, especially, and this is a very tarot reader thing. Like, there's a lesson in everything.
Right.
There's a freedom in the fall. There's a lesson in picking yourself up. There's a lesson in change. All of these things we can learn from,
Yes.
and I always say, I'm a very positive person for the most part, and I always, when things happen, it's like it could have been a lot worse. This was bad, but it could have been
Right.
worse. Like, I don't know about you, March was a really rough month for me. It was like two car accidents, health issues, like major stuff. It was like all condensed in 1 month. I was like, are you kidding me? And it was like, why? But then it's like, okay, these are not, like, in the grand scheme of things, these are not horrible. These are not.
Shifting your perspective around it and always being hopeful too. Like, even if your body's triggered and you're like, ah, just trying to just move into a state of rest, even give your body 5 minutes to feel like, even if it feels like the end of the world, to just sit and breathe and say, I exist, I'm still here. Some kind of answer will come. And sometimes it takes time
It's
to get an
true.
answer. And I want to know if you'd be willing to pull a card. The
Yes.
listeners.
I love this deck. Have you seen
Oh
this
my
deck?
gosh. I've seen it on your
Friggin'
Instagram
gold.
account and TikTok.
It's friggin' gold. I
They're
love it.
gorgeous.
So this card, though, I have to warn you, does not mix words.
Okay.
This deck will tell you it's very Philly. It's very Philly. That's all I
Okay.
have to say. You know exactly
Yes,
what that means.
I'd love, you can either do a card or you can do however, one, two, or three cards, totally up to you, and then
Okay,
we'll wrap it up.
is this for you, or is this for everybody watching?
Everybody listening, watching, however they're probably listening.
Ancestors, spirit guides, universe. Let's predict. Let's see what's going to be coming out this month. Okay, for the collective.
From Madame Delphi, right?
Yeah, Delphi, like the Oracle of Delphi, or
Oh, okay.
the
You've told me
Delphic
this.
Sybil. Delphic, yeah, Sybil, Delphica. Okay, let me see one more card. Let's see. Okay, looks pretty good. I think April is going to be good. First,
Yay.
we have this Eight of Wands. Look how pretty. I love it. It's like same, but the old Rider White, but like a little different. So this talks about speed. I feel like this month is going to go by very fast. There's going to be a lot of quick changes, but it also means immediate payoff. So if you
Wait, you
take
mean May is going to be good?
Oh, I'm sorry, May. May. Yes, I meant May. May.
Yeah.
So we just finished April.
Yeah.
Yeah, not with it. So, but May is going to be very fast. Things are going to be happening very, very quick. Okay. But with that means immediate payoff. So if you take action, you will get immediate payoff, which is
Beautiful.
good. So if there's projects or if there's jokes you want to write, there's things you want to do, put it into motion. It's going to be good. We also see this Three of Pentacles, which I feel is very good for starting a new business, getting a new job, new opportunities for growth, especially money. So really look around and see where there's new opportunities that weren't there before to make successful business opportunities happen. And then also we see this Justice card, which I really love. And he always reminds us that the balance is in play. And if you do good, you will get that back. And
Beautiful.
you will get your just rewards if you put out the good vibes and you do the good things. So I absolutely feel like this month is going to be about growth. And it's going to go by fast. So you gotta run with this. But it's going to be about growth and learning and balance, really striving for making your things come true, making your dreams come true.
Thank you. And I
Yeah.
love
You
the
keep the
justice
gate.
card at the end too, cosmic justice. 'Cause like we were talking about just the maniacs out there and stuff like that, keep going.
Yep. Thank you, Kate.
Universe knows how to make justice. You're so welcome. Laura, where can people find you? Instagram, TikTok?
Yeah. Let's see. TikTok. I guess, let's see. My company is Delphi Tarot. So it's www.delphi, which it's a PH in there. DelphiTarot.com. My Instagram is DelphiTarot_by_Laura, L-A-R-A. And my TikTok, I think, is Delphi Tarot. So that's pretty much where you can find me. I'm pretty much doing this all the time. So, yeah.
Yeah. And she's in California with all the good weather. Well, yes. Usually the good weather. Y'all had the crazy floods. What was it, like 2-3 months ago? That was insane. But we get them everywhere at this point.
You guys had an earthquake recently, too.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I'm like, I thought you guys were safe from that.
Me too. It was wild. I was in school and it wasn't, you know, intense enough to be like, oh, I really thought kids were just running above me on the second floor, you know, but yeah, that it's wild. The weather is going to be changing up. I think we're going to get, well, it's already pretty crazy, but I think we should get used to seeing some of these supernatural storms. Mother Earth is talking to us. And she's not always happy.
No, I don't think she's very happy right now.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But but again, there's things we can do. Yes. So.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much, Laura.
Great.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.